All right, let's learn a little bit. So it's been a long break since we last learned, but it's great to be back together. We're in the beginning of the Torah, Parshas Noach. So let's learn a little bit together. So what I'd like to start this week with is a series of psukim. Let's learn three or four together inside in the beginning of the story, the beginning of the flood and the creation, the building of the teva, that the ark that Noach is instructed to build. So let's learn. Let's get a little bit of background before we get into the psukim that that we're going to study together. So let's start on page 30 in front of you, if you have your blue art scroll, page 30. There are some more at the end of the table if you want to grab one. So just again, quickly as background, so the Torah describes in the first psukim here, introduces us to Noah, who was a tzaddik, who was a righteous individual. The Torah tells us about his three children. And in Pasuk Yud Aleph, verse 11, Vatishaches ha'aretz lefneho elokim. The Torah tells us that the world that Noah lived in, the environment that he was, this righteous person with his three children, had become corrupt, and it was filled with Hamas. And how do we translate Hamas?
Arabs.
No. What does it say over there? Thank you very much. Filled with robbery. So the Torah says, we have a corrupt world, and it's filled with robbery. And there's much discussion amongst the sages. We're not going to talk much about that. We'll touch on it a little bit later. That the world was corrupt. It was corrupt morally, corrupt ethically, and in every way, to the point that the Torah then says in the next pasuk, "Vayara Elokim es ha'aretz v'hine nishchasa." Hashem looks out and he sees this world that is become totally corrupt. Ki hishchis kol basar es darko al haaretz, all of the world, all of the flesh, everyone alive has become corrupted, and Hashem decides, as we're all familiar, as he says to Noach in the next psukim, that's it, I've had enough, I'm going to destroy them all, and I want you to build yourself a teva, I want you to make yourself an ark, and I'm going to spare you and your family. The Torah then describes the...
I'm not being facetious, but isn't that happening now? Yep. Isn't that all that natural stuff that's going on a little bit crazy?
Yeah, whatever. But but I don't, and we can't, you know, it's not like the whole world. We're not going to get into that.
Okay.
We're not going to get into that. So he says, let's make teva. We get the dimensions, exactly what they should be, 300 cubits of length and 50 cubits its width and 30 cubits of its height and the window at the top. You're going to make a little entrance and the three different floors. The Torah describes all of this. And then again, we're just doing a brief background. Verse 17 on the top of the next page. As for me, I'm going to bring the flood waters upon the earth to destroy all the flesh, all breath, anything that has breath. Everything is going to be completely wiped out. And let's start then with Pasuk Yud Ches 18. V'hakimos yes brisi. Tochlen, I will establish my covenant with you. Uvasoil ateva, and you will enter into the teva atov anachav ishtecha, you and your sons, the ishtecha and your wife, uneshnei vanach and the wives of your sons, itach. Everybody will come in, and this is going to be the group that's now going to survive and reestablish the world. There's another one, if you just hang on a second, over here, I'll get it.
Over there, right there.
What's he looking for?
I'm not joking. He said Banav and then his wife. Wouldn't have had Banav without his wife.
Okay, sure. Okay, all good. Okay, so that's our background. So we have, as you're all familiar already, this idea, the world has become corrupted. Hashem says, that's it, we're going to start over, we're going to destroy everything, flood it out. You, your three sons, your wife, and their three wives. So these eight human beings are going to be the source from which all humanity will descend after the flood. Okay, so let's take a look now at the next couple of psukim and learn a little bit about this as we go. Now Hashem says to Noah, okay, so far who's on the teva? The eight people. That's all that we've been told about. Noah and his wife and his three children and their wives. Mikol basar, and then from every living creature, from all flesh, shnayim mikol tavila teva l'achayos itach, you'll take two from all of them, bring them onto the teva that they should live with you. Zacharu nekeva yihiyu, they should be male and female. Why should they be male and female?
So they can reproduce.
Obvious, exactly. So in other words, Hashem says, and we're going to repopulate the world, even though I'm going to flood it out, and everything is going to be destroyed, but we are going to start again. So I want you to bring from every species that exists, mikol basar, from every species that exists in the world they wanted to bring onto the Teva, two of them, and then from these two, one which will be male, one which will be female, the world will then obviously become repopulated again after the flood. The sages describe, Rashi quotes the Gemara, that the Teva only allowed in a male and female species that had not become corrupted in any type of immorality or immoral acts, that they were not involved, not with other animals.
The animals were okay.
Not with people. As long as the animals were okay, they were the ones, the two animals that made it on were all, so to speak, pure animals that had not been involved in any cohabitation of other species or with other...
How did they determine which ones?
Oh, so we're going to see in a moment. In a moment, the Ramban is going to make a comment on that. We'll get to that. So we're going to have these two. They're going to come on. Let's talk about for a moment a famous Ramban. The Ramban Nachmanides asks, has a comment on this pasuk, oft quoted, with two very important answers to his comment. And let's begin with that. The Ramban says, okay, so Hashem just asked Noach to build a teva. How big is this teva?
Big.
I mean, it's big. It's 300 cubits long and fit by 50 and by 30. Okay, but like how large is that? Is it larger than the ocean liners that we have today to go on a cruise?
No.
I don't know. Probably not by much, if at all. Yeah. I mean, those are big boats. Says Rabban. And then Hashem asks him, I want you to bring not just one, but two of every single species that exists in the world, and I want you to bring that all onto the Teva. Says the Ramban, Yadua ki hachayos rabos mo. It's well known, there are quite a large number of animals out there in the world, and amongst those animals are several hundred species of enormous animals.
Size, yeah.
And we have all the birds. So says the Ramban. I have to bring two of each one of them in order that they should repopulate the world. And we need food for all of them for an entire year for all of these animals. This teva could not possibly hold all of these animals and all of the food, velo eser kayote. And not if he would have made 10 just like it, you still wouldn't have come close to the size of a physical ark necessary to hold the animals of the world and their food.
For a whole year.
Says Ramban. Impossible.
Did they know it was a whole year beforehand?
Did they know it was going to be a full year? I don't remember. I don't think the Psukim describe exactly that. I know Noach knew it was going to be a full year. But clearly significant enough amount of time that they're going to need a lot of food. We're going to get to that also in a few moments. Therefore, says the Ramban, Aval hu nes. There is no other way to address this story
but a miracle,
other than to say we have a miracle that we're discussing here. Hechzik muat es hameruba, in which a small amount was able to hold something far larger than itself. So if you want to look at the story and ask a question, how big was it? How did it manage with it? Impossible, says Ramban. There's nothing even to start, not even 10 arcs like this would have come close to holding what it needed to have held. Therefore, it is a miracle. It is one of the miracles of the Torah. We have many of them. This is one in which a small amount of space is able to maintain something far larger than it. We find similar ideas in the writings of the sages in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Holy Temple, when the Jews would come on the Shalosh Regalim, on the three holidays, Pesach, Sukkot, and Shavuos, and you'd have the entire Jewish world. The entire Jewish world would come to this structure. I mean, you've all been to the Temple Mount. I mean, how big... How is it possible that they would... And then they would all bow down. And so the Mishnah says one of the miracles is that somehow everybody had room. Even though, impossible. We find it also in the Holy of Holies itself. The dimension of the Holy of Holies was such that the Ark, there should not have been physical space for the Ark, its staves, and a person to be able to walk in and move it. They hear the dimensions, and here are the dimensions of the room, here are the dimensions of the ark. How does the person get it? Somehow, there are certain areas, there is space. Okay, so the Teva says the Ramban is another example where even though it shouldn't be possible, it... Fine. That's his opening comment. But then he has a question. Says the Ramban, okay, So you look at the size. I mean, how long did it take Noach to build this teva? 120 years, the sages say. Why did it take him so long to build the teva? Because a big teva, at the end of the day, even if it's an ocean liner, a long time for a single person to build himself.
Didn't have so many people to build with
him. He didn't have a lot of people to build with him. Okay, we're going to that comment. That's part of what he's going to say. So, but it took him a long time. But that wasn't why he was with. That's why he needed to build. We're going to see that in a second. He built a very large teva. It was 300 almost by 50 by 30. Maybe three different floors. There's a lot going on. Says Ramban. Okay, he built a really large teva. Did anybody think that the large teva that he built was going to hold everything? Impossible. No way. So I have a better idea, says Ramban. Since anyway, there's no way this is going to work. It's impossible. You could build 20 ocean liners. It's not going to hold all the animals of the world. Why make Noach build such a large teva and spend so long building it, if anyway, what's going to our conclusion is going to be? It's a miracle, not big enough.
Right.
So why spend? Okay, once you accept that it has to be a miracle, so why make him spend so much time on it? Now he has two answers, one which you're probably familiar with, but I want to share both of them with you. That's his question. Here's his question. Mm-hmm. Says the Ramban, number one. Kadeshi Yiru, Oso Bnei Doro, he wanted, the Rashi quotes this as well, he wanted the generation before whom he was building this teva to see the Ismahuba and to be in wonderment about, like, what is this guy doing building this enormous ark? The Isapru Aleha. Now they'll start talking about it. I mean, you can't miss. I mean, he took out a whole pier and he's building this. And it probably wasn't a pier, right? He's building it on dry land because the water's going to come. It doesn't need to be on a pier. What's he doing in the middle of the dry land? We're landlocked, Noah. What are you doing? Building this huge ark. Like, where are you going to take it? Via Dabru Be'inyan Amabel, and that will cause people to start speaking about the fact. Did you hear what he said? He said he's building it because God's bringing a flood. Ulai Yase Tshuva. That's Ramban's language. Ulai, maybe. When you got this guy, Noach, building this enormous ark for 120 years, constructing it with the whole thing you could imagine, day in and day out, and people are watching it go up, and like, oh, look at the progress he's making. Oh, he's almost there. And everyone's talking, that everybody knows the reason why he's doing this is because God said he's bringing a flood. And you know what? Okay, the first floor goes up. You're like, even if God's bringing the flood, I mean, the ark's nowhere near done. And then all of a sudden they get that second level done. You're like, he's nowhere near done. And then another 20, 30 years go by. And it's like, you know, he's nearing the completion of this. And he's been saying and preaching and saying that there's going to be this flood and God's going to destroy the world. Maybe, says the Ramban, maybe people will get it in their heads to make a choice, to make a change. Maybe. And so therefore, in answer to his question of why make Noach build such a large teva, it's not going to work. So there's another alternative, ulterior motive of get people talking, ulai, maybe, when people will see something that will draw their attention, will get them speaking, maybe, they'll come to do tshuva. That's Ramban's answer, oft-quoted answer, Rashi quotes it, I'm sure many of you have heard that one before. Then he adds another answer. Beautiful answer, says the Ramban, the ode, asu oso gedoli, he made it large, lema'et hanes, to downplay as much as possible the miracle. This is a fascinating answer. Yeah, imagine the alternative. Imagine the alternative. He could have built, imagine in our day and age, a motorboat. You know, a motorboat that holds 10, 15 people. You go out for a Sunday spazier on some, you know, boat, right? He could have built that. It's a miracle anyway, right? He built a huge ocean liner, right? Mm-hmm. It's the same miracle. If you'd stop and think about the ocean liner, you would say, well, yeah, it's big, but you know what? I mean, all the animals of the world, they can't fit on that. So anyway, he says, so build a smaller thing that holds 15, 20 people. Why make him work so hard? Says Ramban, because the way of the world is always lema'et hanes, to minimize the amount, the magnitude of the miracle. Because if you built a small little 15-passenger motorboat, that's absurd that you're going to start bringing animals onto that. And the eye sees immediately the absurdity of it.
And they make fun.
So he doesn't want to do that. Well, he doesn't say that. It's the miracle would be larger. So he built something that looks large, that is large, that at first glance, as you see the animals streaming in, makes sense. There is room. If you would watch the animals go in two by two for 15-20 minutes, that's okay. It's only if you watch them go on for 6, 7, 8 hours. You're like, well, where are they all going? But at first glance, it works. And says the Ramban, Ki kein haderech b'chol hanisim shebatayr benavim. Always, miracles in the Torah are done in a way to minimize the extent of the miracle. La'asos mashibiyad odom la'asos. That we do as much as can be done by ourselves, the Hashar, and then what we can't do, Yebidei Shemayim, that Hashem will take. And this first open miracle in the Torah, it's Parshas Noach. I'll say first, maybe there was something last week, but this story of Noach, this enormous magnitude of a miracle that all the animals are going to fit in, that's impossible. So build a small ark, says the Ramban, no. I want to take time, I want people to talk about it, maybe they'll see, they'll make a change. And I also want mankind has to do whatever he can do, the most he can possibly do to affect whatever needs to be affected in this world. You can't do it all, it's impossible. I'll take care of the rest. But you got
to
do
everything
you can do to get me to that point. So you make my role, God says, look as little as possible. You hide it in a big ocean liner. Take 120 years to build. It looks reasonable as animals start going in. If anyone would stop and think about how many animals have to go in, they'll say it's impossible. Okay, but at least it looks somewhat normal. I'll take care of the rest. At a point where you can't really see, like, you know, where are all those animals going? This doesn't make sense. I know. But make it look like it can make sense. So you do your part, I'll do mine. So says the Ramban, is the Derech Hanes. That's the way that God does His miracles in this world. We do as much as we can do, and when we hit our wall, He says, I'll carry you over. That's idea number one. Then, let's continue. We're not done. Pasuk Chaf, verse 20. Mehaof l'mineo. So again, what has he been told to do so far? He's been told to bring in two of every animal. Mehaof l'mineo. Now he's expanded to bring in of every bird. Mumina beheimo l'mino. And every animal. Mikol remes o adama l'mineo. Every creepy crawling, everything. Shnayim mikol. Yavo eilecha l'hachayot. Two from each of them. Yavo Eilacha. How would you translate that? What does it say there?
We'll come to you.
Each one of them will come to you, says the Ramban, commenting on that phrase. What does that sound like? How do they get to the ark?
They have to walk.
Does Noah have to go bring them, or are they coming on their own?
They come on their own.
Says the Ramban, it's clear from the verse that each one of these two animals, a male and a female species, is going to come on its own. Noach is not, says the Ramban, instructed to go, and hunting is the wrong word, but to trap and to go find them and to go into their habitat. They're going to come on your own to the Teva. Parenthetically, just take a little break from where we're holding. If you skip a few verses down to verse 2, Pasuk Beis, in the next chapter, it's on the same page, just a few verses down, when Hashem adds the commandment to take from the kosher animals, not just two, but he adds
seven.
Look at the language there. Mikola behemoha tohora, from each one of the pure or kosher animals, tikach lecha shiva shiva. Translate that.
Take seven.
So it says, wait a minute. So when it came to the two animals of all the species, how do they get to the ark?
They're coming on their own.
When it came to the seven of the kosher animals, Hashem says to Noach, you go and take, what's the difference? What happens to the kosher animals? Why do the kosher animals need more?
Because they need
sacrifices. Because after the flood, Noach brought them as offerings. Says the Ramban, it was not going to be that the animals that were going to eventually be brought to the Teva to die would come on their own. The animals whose role was to come to the Teva to perpetuate the species, on that we have this miracle, and Hashem says, I'll send them to you. But the additional animals from the kosher ones, who were going to be surviving only for the next year until afterwards, and then were going to be brought as a sacrifice, that Hashem says, I'm not sending them to the Teva that they should die. For those, you need to go out and take, and then after the flood, you'll bring them as korbanos, you bring them as the offerings. That's just a small little parenthetical comment. Yeah?
Well, if all the kosher animals were going to be brought as sacrifices, how did they...
Not all, not six out of... Not all. 100%. Okay, next. One more pasuk that we'll see together. The Atos. So far, what do we have so far? So far, we have the instruction to build it. He was told that he and his three sons and the four wives are all going on it. And then we're told all of the animals. And now the final instruction, the Atos, in verse 21, Pasuk Chaf Aleph. The Atos, Kach Lecha Mikol Ma'achol Asher Yeyochel. You're going to take from all of the food that is eaten. V'asaftoi Lechon, you will gather it to you. V'ayol Lecha V'lohem. That it should be for you and for them as food. And Noach does, the Pasuk then says, so everything that Hashem commanded him, he did. I'd like to share with you a comment from the Kli Yakar. Kli Yakar is one of the classic commentaries printed in all of the standard Chumashim. On that last Pasuk that we read in verse 21, V'ata kach l'cha, and as for you, take yourself of every food. That language, kach l'cha, should have just said, kach es kol ma'achal, take all food. Instead, the language is, take l'cha, like for yes. yourself, of yourself, all the food. And he's very bothered, the Kli Yakar, by that additional word. What do you mean, take of yourself or for yourself? Just take food for you and for them. Take for yourself food for you and for them. It's an additional word. And he says there's another place in the Torah where we find that language, lecha, a couple different places. But one is when it comes to what the yontif that we just completed, Sukkos. The yontif of Sukkos, we have the Arba Minim, the Lulav, the Esrog, the Das, and the Ravos. And there it also says, kach lecha. Take for yourselves. And from there we derive a law, very important law, that the lulav that you use has to be yours. And it cannot be stolen. Can't use a stolen lulav. If you were to take something that doesn't belong to you, doesn't work. There's a because of the word lachem, that it's yours, it should be to you, so that we derive from there, that if you were to steal someone's lulav, and then use that for your mitzvah, we would say, doesn't work.
Why is this even an issue? Why would people
steal? Says the Kli Yakar, beautiful thing. You walked right into that. That was like, I couldn't have planted that any. I'm glad we went over that before that. I told you, remembered perfectly. Says the Kli Yakar, L'cha mashma mishalacha, the language of gather to yourself or for yourself implies that you have to take your food and you can't take
somebody else's.
It's coming out of robbery.
Because what might have Noach thought? This is such an unbelievable insight, says the Kli Yakar. What's going to happen today or tomorrow in another couple days? What's going to happen to everybody?
They're all
going to die. Says Noach, I got to feed a whole world full of animals for a year. Where am I going to get all this food from? Oh, I have an idea. All my neighbors are going to be dead. I'll take it from them. Umamonam kala, their money is gone, their food is gone. So, okay, I'll go borrow from them, I'll take from them. Therefore, Salka Daita Chamina, you might have thought that Noach would have had a thought in his head. Shemutr likach mishel, I might be allowed to take from them. Therefore, the Torah says, Noach, take from yourself. Mm-hmm. You may not take from anyone else. You may not. Nice thought, but you may not. Now this, one more comment from the Kli Yakar, and he says, this has a couple with, I mean to share a couple of thoughts on this, but one he says, lahagdil hanes, this is going to increase the miracle. He says, Noah has enough food in his own personal storehouse to feed everybody. Ridiculous, of course not. So he could have taken everything that he had, it wouldn't have even been close. So Kli Yakar says, but that's what Hashem wanted, and that's only going to increase the miracle, because how much food does he have? So if he could take from everybody, okay. But he's only bringing, how much does one person have for himself, his three children and their wives? How much food does he have?
Come to my fridge, you'll see.
But he brings it all in, and now it's got to last for everybody. So here's my comment. So here we go. So now we have an idea that we have, the Ramban says, what's the normal way of miracles? Always to
lessen, to minimize.
We want it to be in a way that if you look at it, we did everything possible, and then God says, okay, when you can't go any further, I'll pick it up from here. Very next verse, says the Kli Yakar, another one of classic commentators, when it came to the food, Hashem says to Noach, only your own, don't touch anyone else's, and that's going to increase the miracle, that even though you're taking in so, you have so little food to choose from, you can't possibly... Why? So two thoughts. Number one, this thought that he says that Noach would have had is such a beautiful insight. What's the sin of the generation that's bringing this about?
Robbery.
Exactly. The Torah said very clearly, the generation was enmeshed with robbery, with I could take whatever I want, I can do whatever I want, and the world had become corrupt. Noach is a tzaddik, but as the sages all point out, and I think we actually spoke about this at length last year, a tzaddik not on the level of an Avram Avinu, a tzaddik in his time, for sure. Mm-hmm. Impacted, like we all are, by our environment. Mm-hmm. Noach, in a world of thievery, in a world corrupt by it, would he ever think he could just go and steal something from someone else? Never. But now he's entering into the Teva, and everyone's going to die. Now, says the Kli Yakar, maybe Noach would have a thought in that world, in that generation, and affected and impacted by that environment, maybe he would say, I'm allowed, I have to feed all these animals that God put in my charge. How am I going to do that? It's impossible. I don't have the food. I don't even have the money to buy the food that I would need. How much food do you need? It's impossible. At this point, maybe Noach in that generation would have said to himself, it's okay. It's mutter for me to take from someone else. Due to the circumstances, I think that's justifiable. Says Hashem, absolutely not. Even if that will increase the miracle, it's worth it. Because you may not, coming out of a generation that's being destroyed because of the Hamas, the thievery, the robbery, the falling apart of those boundaries, and in that generation... Absolutely not. None of this being mora aheter, which you'll teach for yourself. It's permissible. It's okay for me over here. I'm justified. You're not. You may not. And therefore the Torah says, kach lecha, you'll take from yourself. Beautiful, beautiful thought. I'd like to add one other. One second. Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, the great Rosh Yeshiva from the Mir Yeshiva in Yerushalayim. At this point, it's 50, 60, 70 years ago. I remember the exact dates. Good chunk of time ago. Says the following thought. If you want to fulfill the mitzvah of ahavta l'reicha kamocha, to love your fellow man, so how do you do that? So how do you get to a point of loving your fellow man? See, he quotes in this very difficult mitzvah to give of yourself to love of someone else. He quotes from the Maseches Derech Eretz Zuta. He says, "Imatarotza l'dabek be'ahavas chaver." If you want to cleave, you want to cling to this mitzvah of loving your fellow. Have no save and no sin b'tevaso. Toil and work and look after things that he needs. Be invested in making sure that you take care of him. It's a simple line that he says that many people make a mistake on, and we've spoken about this before. Rav Dessler talks about this a lot. If I were to ask a question, and we've for sure said this before, do you give of your time, energy, and resources to the people that you love, or do you love the people to whom you give your time, energy, and resources? Very important question. Which one comes first? Do you love the people to whom you give your resources, your energy, and your time? Because you give them all, that's why you love them. Or, because you love someone, that's why you give to them. Which one comes first? So, they both, Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, Rav Dessler, they both point out that many people make the mistake to think that first they love, and then to the people that they love, they give. But it's not true. It's not true. It's that we love the people to whom we give. And true love is not infatuation because you just think somebody looks good. True love is when you spend a lifetime giving to each other, like a parent gives to a child, spouses give to each other, in any environment when you're contributing and you're giving and you're sacrificing, that from that comes the feeling of part of me is in you. V'ahavta l'reicha kamocha, if I have to love my friend like myself, when I see myself in you, because you're the product of all of my investments, so then it's easy to love you. Mm-hmm. And as I just quoted, so if you want, it says the Medrash, say Chazal, so you want to fulfill the mitzvah of loving your friend like you, be nosei v'nosei b'tevasim, worry about everything that they need. Mm-hmm. And then you'll fulfill the mitzvah, v'ahavta l'reicha kamocha, you give to them, you give to them, you give to them, and then it'll be easy, because you see yourself in them. And if ever you have any conflict with anybody, about how do I get past this? Give to them. Find a way to give, and that's the easiest way to get past whatever the problem is. That's easy words to say, I know, but that's the foundation, the so, the idea, the philosophy behind it. Says Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, it's a beautiful idea. Noach is about to be tasked with one of the most impossible tasks. He now has to take care of, together with his sons, these four men, feeding the entire animal kingdom, day in and day out. The Medrash says it took them they never slept. These animals needed to be fed at night, these animals during the day, these animals needed this, these animals needed this. It's like having like 14 million three-year-olds in the house. Can you imagine? Like, this one only eats this one only eats that, only at this time, in this way. The toast has to be exactly like this, and if it's too much, you know, it's impossible. So the Medrash, so they were busy, yomam v'layla, day and night, without a break, taking care of these animals. So Chaim Shlomo says, where does he get the strength to start? This is a process, and we spoke about this last year, I remember, that was part of the re-establishment of the world was going to be from a person who had invested in an entire year in giving and giving and giving, and that's how the world was going to be recreated. We're going to move away from thievery into giving and giving and giving.
Says Reb Chaim Shmulevitz,
where does that process start? It's going to be your food that you have to feed them. Because if you think you're getting away with, okay, fine, it's a little bit of labor, I'm going to use Yenim's food over there, I'm going to take that guy, I never liked that neighbor anyway, I'll take his grain to feed his animals. The starting point is
your
food. Because that's all right. Now you got to give of your own, and it's everything you got, Noach, because you got to take it all, what you have, even to make it look like this is going to work, which it's never going to work. You're going to take all your food and bring it in, and know that you can't even have it all for yourself and your family because you got to use this to feed the animals. How is that going to work? It's going to be innate. Like, everything about this is a miracle. But the way we're going to do it is you're going to take from yourself to start that process of, I'm just going to give, I'm going to give, and I'm going to give. And from that, we're going to establish a world in which from your stuff, in a way that you could have justified better than any thief ever in the history of the world, that it was mutter permissible for you to take other people's food. No one had a better justification than Noach. Not today, Noach. From yours, nothing from anybody else, and I want you to feel that you're giving of yourself, literally, in your time, your resources, your energy, in your literal food out of your mouths, to feed these animals. And from that, we're going to rebuild a world that's going to come out of this teva in a different world than that which went in, which was a world corrupted by this Hamas, corrupted by this this environment. And therefore we have this idea of kach lecha, take your stuff into the teva. Okay. Yeah.
In something, 22.